who taped CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday evening, December the 27th, 2015.
Bartleby Todd is the speaker of the evening, teaching on our need to prepare for deliverance.
Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for every person that made it here today against the weather and threats of weather and every other thing that would try to keep them from getting here. I just thank you that they made it. And the good things that you have for them, not only tonight, Lord, but every morning and every day, every meeting, and even in between, Lord, the blessings that you have in store. We thank you for those right now. I thank you for yet another opportunity to come and speak your name, that we still can speak your name. Lord, I don't know how long we will have that privilege, but for all the years that I've taken it for granted, I ask you to forgive me. I repent, Lord, that I have not appreciated it more as I do looking forward. So, Lord, we just bless you tonight. We came to worship you. We came to receive from you, Father, because you are a giver. You have so much that you want to give us. Help us to receive it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I just thought I would talk a little bit about how we need to prepare ourselves for deliverance. I was thinking today that about the rain, and, you know, even though floods are awful, they're very cleansing. They wash away dirt and stuff and, you know, make way for new, and it's cleansing. And we should, I mean, every day, we should treat our spiritual life like we do our teeth. We brush our teeth twice a day at least, hopefully. And because we're walking in a world that is full of filth. Everywhere you turn, billboards and commercials and pictures and talk and behaviors and the news and everything is there to defile. And if we're not careful, those things get on us and will weigh us down and have effects on us that we don't realize sometimes. I have to stop sometimes and realize, wow, where did that come from? Where is this frustration, this, you know, all of these things that are tugging at us all the time? And so the first thing that we should do when we come here to receive deliverance is to repent, ask the Lord to remind us of things that we need to repent of. Not only the wrongs that we do, but even the good that we didn't do. There are many ways that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. And so just be mindful tonight. I'm not going to talk a very long time so that we can all get rested and get ready for in the morning. But just begin to ask the Lord to search your heart. Let the light of His Holy Spirit shine in your mind and in your heart, even in your flesh, and point out those things that we need to be cleansed of and repent of. First thing I want to talk about is unforgiveness. You know, sometimes it's a sly little thing that can get in there that we hold on to that we don't want to forgive somebody for, a hurtful word or something that they've done, or wrongs that have been committed against us. And, I mean, these things can be way back from even when we were little children. somebody that wounded us or hurt us, and we put it away. I remember an earlier trip here when my husband was here with me, and we took a walk. The driveway that goes back to the house, at the curb there, there's a road that's not traveled much except for the people that live here. And my husband and I went walking back there, and on the way, there was a place that was kind of went back like this, so that when you're walking, you don't see it, but on the way back, it was visible. And it's a dump where they take limbs and old microwaves and old refrigerators and box springs and different things. At that time, there was some of that there, broken furniture or whatever. Anyway, things that when you live in the country, they don't come pick that stuff up like they do your garbage. Sometimes they don't even have garbage to come. But I thought that's so like we are, because this is a piece of land. It's a beautiful piece of land. But there in that one little spot, not so pretty. And it's like us, that this is our land, our body that we walk around in, and in our hearts we have all these good things, but then there's this little place where we dump our stuff and things that we don't like, things we don't want to admit to, things that we don't want to look at, things that we don't want to be known. And those things get hidden away, and sometimes they fester, and just like a garbage dump, depending on what's in it, might draw flies or other kinds of varmints. And sometimes those things can get in us and be a spiritual thing that works out in our flesh, maybe causing us to have some kind of physical thing going on in our bodies that, not really a sickness. You can know that if you go to the doctor and they do everything they can to find out what's wrong with you, and they can't find anything wrong with you. But there are physical things going on in your body. There's no medical explanation. It could be spiritual. Unforgiveness is a very serious thing. It says in Matthew 6, verse 9, this is when they asked the Lord to teach them to pray, and he said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors." Forgive us. We're asking God to forgive us our debts as we forgive others. Sometimes we can pray over that and not really think about it, that we're withholding forgiveness from somebody. And it will cause God to also hold forgiveness from us. And that can be a cause of problems in our lives. Verse 13, Matthew 6:13, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." That's a serious thing. We need to be forgiven in order to be healed. If you're looking for healing, then there needs to be forgiveness. So ask God to search your heart. Search your mind. When you go to bed tonight, ask Him, "Show it to me, Lord, if there's anything that is standing in the way of me being healed and made whole that has to do with unforgiveness." Maybe you're like Peter. In Matthew 18:21, it says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." I used to think, that's still an absolute. But you lose track trying to keep up with it. "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down. Can you imagine? Can you imagine someone coming and saying, pay me what you owe, and that you don't have it? So sell his wife, sell his children, sell all that he has. That would be devastating. So he falls down and worships him. And in this instance, that word worship doesn't mean like we were just worshiping the Lord. It means he put himself in a posture of submission before this man that he owed, this man that was going to sell his wife and children and everything that he had. So he fell down before him and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? That's what the Lord is asking us. I have forgiven you all. Can't you forgive the ones that owe you? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. See, it's a requirement, a stern requirement that we forgive. So maybe you have a problem in your life and you don't understand why God's allowing it, or why is this happening to me, but it could very well be that you're harboring unforgiveness, and you may not even be aware of it. That's why tonight I want you to really ask God to search your heart. Have you been turned over to the tormentors? So ask God to show you if there's anyone you haven't yet forgiven. It might be yourself. Are you suffering something because you judged somebody else in that way? I got to tell you that everything I have judged has come to my house. I learned to look at it like a purchase order. If you judge somebody, guess what? A purchase order for it to be delivered to your house. I'll give you an example. When Mike and I first moved to Jasper, the Jasper area, we were way out in the woods. We had no neighbors. And it was springtime and the windows were open and I was home by myself and I heard this baby talking. And I thought, where in the world is this baby coming from? I went out on my front porch and there were lots of trees between the house and the road, but I could hear a baby, but I couldn't hear an adult. You know, there was no adult with this baby. I just heard the baby talking. So I had to go way down my driveway this way to go on the road this way. And there was a toddler walking down this dirt road all alone. I didn't know where he had come from because we didn't have any close by neighbors that I knew of. There was a little trailer down the road here a ways that belonged to the people that owned the property, but nobody lived there. But I didn't know that one of their sons had moved in there with his girlfriend and their baby. And here was this baby walking down the road. And of course, I go, get the baby. Now, at first I didn't even know where to take the baby until I realized that little trailer down there, there was no car, but I thought, it's got to be where this baby came from. So I walked up on the porch, and I could hear a television, knocked on the door, nobody came. It was spring. It was a screen door. The big door was opened. And knocked on the door. Nobody ever came. So I stuck my head in the door, opened the screen door, and looked in. And there was a young woman passed out on the couch. On what? I don't know. But she was passed out. It took much, you know, shaking her to get her awake. And then she was alarmed because she didn't know me, and here I was in her house holding her baby. And so she comes out of it, and I said, "Is this your baby?" I was 30, you know, younger, a young mother who had total control over her children. And I just thought that was horrible. Well, about 3 or 4 months ago, my daughter was in the house. She wasn't passed out that I know of. She said she wasn't. She said she and my granddaughter, who's 10, was at school. She and the little boy, who's 3, Connor, they were in the house together. She went to the bathroom. She comes out of the bathroom, and Connor's not in the house. So she goes outside and she's calling him everywhere. They have about an acre that they were living on at the time. Connor was nowhere. And then they lived like next to a major highway, the major highway that goes through West Texas, 30, 20, one of those. Anyway, she saw a bunch of cars stopped and she went running over there. And Connor, this lady was holding Connor.
Oh my God.
When she went into the bathroom, his daddy has a shop where he works on cars across the highway, and he was going to go to the shop. You know, the highway has lots of traffic, but not bumper to bumper. There are times when no cars go by for a while. And so the daddy would walk the little boy across the highway often, but the daddy wasn't with him, and he's 3. And there he was crossing that major highway by himself. And I had a flashback of that toddler walking down the dirt road, which was a much safer place than where Connor was found. But I'm telling you, search your heart. Start asking God to show you things that you have judged. Show me, Lord, who I have judged so that I can repent, so that I can have the purchase order torn up. And, you know, it happens so easy. You know, you just have this fleeting thought that comes out of your mouth. And you don't think you're judging that person, but just the intent of your heart. You know, when I found that baby, I cannot. Can you, you know, this was going on when Mike got home. That baby. And, you know, then I relive it. So ask God to search your heart. Could something be going on in your life that you have judged others about? You know, still reaping those things that were sown. So maybe you're suffering something in your life. Ask yourself, Lord, have I judged somebody else about this? A sickness? Maybe somebody you knew had that same sickness and you thought, well, I would have never done that, or blah, 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 as we like to do. No, it's a judgment. And those things will come back on us. Matthew 7:1 says, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged." That is a law, a spiritual law. "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." Yikes. Matthew 7:3. "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye?" I've learned to say, when someone around me is saying, well, la, 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 I say, I'm not saying a word. I just am not saying a word because I don't want to judge. I don't want those purchase orders coming to my house. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. One time I had a little visual picture of looking at somebody and seeing the twig in their eye, and I realized it was a reflection of the mote that was in my eye. And you see it in somebody else. Can't see your own. Luke 18:9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. You know, God knows how to humble a person.
Yeah.
At one time, and I don't say this braggartly or with pride that I'm not to this degree, I won't say that I'm not like this at all anymore, but I'd like to think that I'm not self-righteous anymore. But I remember a time that I was so self-righteous that when they brought the woman in adultery before Jesus, and Jesus said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone, I would have been looking for a rock. I mean, I'm serious. I'm glad I wasn't there that day in that condition, because when I would have looked up and everybody would have been gone, Jesus would have seen me looking for a rock. That would have been terrible. But I was pretty self-righteous. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I could just see this man standing in the back of a church looking over everybody. Oh man, I'm so glad I'm not like that one. This Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the publican, standing afar off, why is that doubled twice? Okay. Smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. We tend to judge other people in the areas of our self-righteousness. In the areas of our pride, we look down on others. That's what that Pharisee was doing. Or might you be having problems in your life because of works of the flesh? Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Listen to these words. There's a bunch of them. One of these days I'm going to break every one of them down and do a teaching on it, because there is so much here. And we read these words and we don't really understand what all they mean. These, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There's a lot involved in those two or three scriptures. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. These are just a few, but there are many others that are in the wickedness of our hearts that have not been sanctified yet. Those unsanctified places. I want you to know that Peter, when he denied Christ 3 times, you know, the grace and the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ is so deep that we can't comprehend it. I know people who honestly feel that they have gone beyond what his love and grace can go. But if you're in that place, I can't help but think that you still have a fear of the Lord. If you fear that, you still have a fear of the Lord. And that's a good thing. But his mercy and his grace, we can't really comprehend it, but I love this story about Peter. You know, when Peter was so impulsive and so passionate in his love for the Lord, just like a lot of us are. And yet, that night, when Jesus said, before the cock crows, you will deny me thrice. And he did. And it's in several of the books, several of the Gospels, and they all say it just a little bit differently, but there's one that says when the cock crowed, Jesus turned and looked at Peter. And man, when I read that, it just struck my heart. I could just imagine, you know, because I don't know about y'all, but there have been times in my life when I have said or done something that I said I would never do that or say that, and then I say it, and I can just almost feel that look that Peter got from the Lord. Because, see, he knows us. And let me tell you something. You might can con other people. You might even can con yourself. But you can't con God. He knows us through and through better than we know ourselves. But I love this in John chapter 20. They saw Jesus on the shore. And this is in, John 21. I'm going to start at 9. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it, and bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fish, 153. And although there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Verse 12, Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples dared to ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Now, the fact that Jesus said this three times, I've wondered, did Peter get it? Did he get it that the Lord was giving him the opportunity to recant those three denials? That just, I love this story because Jesus knew Peter's heart, how grieved he was that he had ever denied him, just like Jesus knew he would. So he gives him the opportunity three times to tell him, I love you, Lord. Yes, I love you. Yes, I love you. That three times in order, that is the grace. That's how precise Jesus is. His love for us. That he voluntarily allowed himself to be nailed to the tree of shame, really. The way they crucified people in that manner. It was shameful. They stripped him of all of his clothes. They mocked him and spit on him. And after they beat him, but he did that because of his great love for us. That's how much he loves you. No matter what it is that you think you've done beyond the grasp, the reach of his grace, forgive yourself tonight and forgive others. So that you can be healed, so that you can be restored, so that you can be reconciled with your Lord, because that's how much he loves you. And of his grace, this is something kind of new that God has helped me to understand about his grace. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is Paul telling us this. I'll just start at verse 1. 2 Corinthians 12:1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such a one caught up into up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows. How he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, this is written in red, because it's Jesus answering Paul. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, Paul immediately says, Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Okay? These scriptures, I used to not like these scriptures, because what it said to me was this. Paul asked for healing. And that scripture always meant to me before now, and I've even heard it preached this way, is that God kind of goes, nah, not going to do it. But I'm going to give you the grace to go on. But you know what? In reflecting upon my own healings that I have received from the Lord, and something that happened up here when I went to pray for a lady that my ordinary, you know, I would have said, she said, I have an infirmity. And I always say, what is your infirmity? Immediately, what is your infirmity? But that's not what came out of my mouth. God had me take her by the hands and move her over about 4 feet. And this is what came out of my mouth, and I heard it for the first time when I said it to her. God wants to move you from the place of asking over here where healing is. Like Danica said earlier, He has already done it. He did it on the cross. So these scriptures, I had read them again one morning, and I started asking God about it. And I was reminded, I didn't know it was connected, but I was reflecting on the day I was healed of allergies. In my family, we have chronic sinus infections, allergies, bronchitis. I've had pneumonia twice. My dad used to get pneumonia with allergies. Starts out not too serious, ends up serious. In the bronchial tubes, and it would last 3 months every time. It would start exactly the same way. You know, a little bit of drainage. Then it would end up with a sore throat. Then it would go to the glands, and it would be like a bag of marbles under here, all swollen. Then I would lose my voice, get hoarse, lose my voice, which many people saw as a blessing at that time. And then I would run fever and be very sick, and then it would all end up in my chest, and I would cough and cough and cough and cough, sometimes not even sleeping for days, because every time you'd lay down, it would start, and you just cough like you thought you were going to die. And I had gotten up and read my word and read the account of the leper who had an encounter with Jesus and said, you know, if you wanted to, you could make me clean. And Jesus said, I will be thou cleansed. And he was cleansed immediately. So I'm driving down the road, sick as a dog, and I'm thinking about those scriptures. And I said, Lord, I'm going to save you what the leper said. I didn't have a voice. I was going to just squeak in the mouth. If you wanted to, you could heal me of these allergies, because I am sick of being sick every year, twice a year, 3 months at a time. That's like half a year. Every year, half a year, I would be sick. And I could show you right under the underpass that I was going under when he spoke to me and said, I've already done it. I'm waiting for you to receive it. And I was like, and then I heard you say, did I not say, it is finished? I thought, Yeah. I said, I don't know how to receive it, Lord. How do I receive it? And I heard, by faith. Well, I'm not so sure I know how to do that either, but okay, I receive it by faith. I thank you for it right now. I receive my healing in Jesus' name. All day long I was sick. But I woke up the next morning and every bit of it was gone. Right. See, he's able to do that. I was driving. I got here last night, ran an errand, went past, I think, Walgreens, and they had out on their sign, "Take care of yourself. Get your flu shot." And I thought, that's the problem right there. We're trying to take care of ourselves instead of allowing Him to take care of us. But God has taken care of my infirmities. When He said that to Paul, what He was saying to Paul was exactly what He said to me. I've already done it. My grace is sufficient. Let me tell you, I don't know what you came here. I don't know what your need is, but His grace is sufficient. If you came here looking for me or Jerry or anybody else to do it for you, for Him, hey, His grace is sufficient. Receive it right now. Whatever you came here needing, receive it right now. His grace is sufficient. God is ready to show Himself God. We've looked everywhere else, but He is the one. He is the gift. Jesus is the gift. We just celebrated the gift of Jesus being born upon the earth to come and take our sins, to wash away our sins, to break the chains of our bondage. His grace is sufficient. He shed every drop of His blood. How could He give any more? He's done it all. So if you have a need tonight, you know what? I don't normally do this, but I'm going to have an altar call for you to come and receive His grace that is sufficient to meet your need. And just receive it. So, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I ask that every one of us sitting here, myself included, ask forgiveness for the unkind things that we've said, for not being understanding when someone is venting or telling us something, and we lack compassion, like the man who went out and choked somebody for a little bit when we've been forgiven for so much. Forgive us. Forgive us for not being compassionate. Forgive us for not being forgiving. Forgive us for being hard-hearted. Forgive us for holding ourselves hostage, for not forgiving ourselves. Forgive us, Lord, for envyings and for strife, licentiousness and contentions. Be praying that for yourself as I say it. Lord, forgive us. Just say it. Lord, forgive us. And I choose to forgive those who have hurt me. And even though it's hard, Lord, I forgive myself. And I want to receive the grace that is sufficient, that I might receive healing, that I might receive freedom from bondages. And forgive me for looking to man when You are the answer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you came here with a need, I want you to come. Whatever it is, physical, spiritual,
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.